Modern 3 Media.
Let's face it, the world is just a messy place. There's probably not one of us that hasn't heard a lesson or some information at some point and said, hey, with all that's going on around me, what difference does that make? I'm Dr. Mike Courtney. I'm a counselor, a lifelong recoverer, a husband, a father, a business owner, a grandfather. And I love to ask this question, what difference does that make?
Welcome to What Difference Does That Make? A podcast that's dedicated to helping you live a healthier, happier, and holier life in what is sometimes a very difficult and messy world. I'm Mike Courtney, and it's always good to spend a little bit of time with you talking about the things that make a difference in your life. And speaking of things that make a difference in your life, there's a guy here that's made a difference in mine. David Wilkinson. He is a good friend and a difference maker. Hey, David, how are you?
Mike, that was really nice of you. I'm great. I'm great now. I was good until you said that. Now I'm just great. That means a lot to me.
I think I'm becoming the king of the segues. I'm kind of learning how to
segue
into that.
Yeah. You're good at it.
It's always good to, and you have made a difference in my life. You're a great contributor to the things that God has called me to do. And thank you for doing that.
Thank you. That works both ways.
It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah.
We're talking about purpose. Mm-hmm. And the teacher for today is one of my favorite. I hope all of our counselors don't listen to this, but Daniel's one of our counselors and he's one of my favorite. He's such a wise young man. Of course, at my age, David, everybody's a young man. But Daniel's such a wise young man. And I asked him if he would teach 4 or 5 minutes on purpose, on how to find a purpose. I think all of us are hungry to find our purpose in life. And Daniel does a great job teaching on that.
That sounds really good. Tell our audience what Daniel's last name is too.
Daniel Crosby. Yeah. He's been a part of the Branches family for 10 years, I imagine. And he is one of our lead counselors, actually kind of an assistant clinical director. Mm-hmm. and just a great young man.
That's a wonderful teaching. I'm in my late 40s, but only recently do I feel like I've even started to tap into purpose, you know, moving past some of the sillier questions of youth. And I don't think anyone, no matter what their age is, would not benefit from a teaching about that. So I think that'll be really, really good. Tell us about your guest today, because you have a very interesting guest.
Well, it's interesting that sometimes our purpose comes from strange places. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our purpose comes from our great adversities, the greatest difficulties we have in life. David Robertson has been a friend of mine for 15 years, I imagine. When I met David, and we'll probably say some of this in the interview, but when I met David, he had just become aware of a negative diagnosis about his eyesight. And now over 15 years, we have watched that progress to the point where David is, for all practical purposes, clinically blind. He will talk a little bit about that in the interview and give you the diagnosis, talk about how that came to be. Now, that wasn't the purpose of our interview, but as we begin to talk, it just began to unfold that, in all honesty, Dave, out of his adversity, he has discovered this purpose in life that is just heroic. It's just amazing.
I was honored to get to spend a few hours in Honduras. Mm-hmm. At a school for the blind.
Wow.
One of the more meaningful statements that was ever given to me was from a 16-year-old girl who went to that school. She could speak English. She was one of the few there that could actually speak English.
Yeah.
But she said to us, we're so glad that you're here. We're so grateful for your time. Please do not pity us.
Wow.
And please know that we get the gift of not seeing some of the ugly things that you have to see.
Oh, wow. What a powerful, powerful statement. And I think when our listeners hear David, you'll get that same kind of feeling. Mm. He is so full of praise for God and what God is doing in his life that it's pretty hard to find any room in your heart to pity him because of how positive he is about things.
I look forward to our audience hearing that interview.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I tell you another thing that our audience can be a part of. Mm-hmm. We are, in all honesty, in the closing days, but we're still participating in this 40 Days of Spiritual Adventure, Love Actually. We started, the end of February, I think. We started a 40-day adventure loving the things that God loves, loving His Word, loving His presence, loving His people, loving His church, and loving His creation. There are daily devotions involved, a very brief daily blog I'm writing every day, some videos, the blogs are dropping in the middle of this. It's just been a great 40 days. I would encourage our listeners to go and be a part of that, mm-hmm. even though we're close to the end. And you could go to branchesblog.com, all one word, branchesblog.com, and just kind of pick up where we are. Or you had a great idea. You could go and actually go back to the beginning and start your own 40 days. It's all laid out for you there. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of finding purpose, I mean, you can find your purpose in that 40-day spiritual adventure, learning to love the things that God loves.
Look at you, king of the segue, speaking of spiritual.
Drawing it all together.
That was great.
Well, it's going to be a really good day. I'm excited about you hearing Daniel. I'm excited about David Robertson. We'll segue to the end when we get to the back end of all this.
Wonderful.
For right now, this is Daniel Crosby, a great friend, great teacher, great counselor, talking about finding purpose.
Sounds good.
Let's get started.
Okay, so let's be honest. Purpose is one of those buzzwords, right, that gets thrown around in Christian as well as secular or personal growth circles constantly. We've all heard of that age-old question, why am I here? Why do I exist? It seems like it's a question that's somewhat just wired into us. It's as if God downloaded a program in our brains that tells us to be looking around for that thing that we're supposed to be producing or accomplishing while we are here on earth. So in my teen youth group growing up, we came up with a mission statement. This was back when everybody had to have a mission statement for everything, but I really liked this mission statement. And it says, we exist to glorify God by using all of our gifts to share Jesus. I think that's a great mission statement, and it's a good life statement as well. And I think it gives us several clues that we can pull from to talk about our purpose a little bit and finding our purpose. So your purpose, number one, includes a lot of freedom. It's like God doesn't give us this tiny little purpose that is so narrow that if we're off by just a little bit, we're going to miss it. Now, I don't mean to sound irreverent, but it's almost as if God might suggest, look, I gave you this life, do whatever you want with it, but in whatever you do, make sure it's bringing glory to me. Number two, I think your purpose involves your gifts and your talents. So ask yourself these questions. What am I really, really good at? And what do I love to do? And what are other people always complimenting me on? Or what do they always come to me for with help? What are they saying I'm great at? If you absolutely hate it and you're absolutely terrible at it, it's probably not part of your purpose. It's not a big gifting area that God is calling you to. All right, number three, your purpose, as broad as it may be and as good as you are at it, it must point people to something bigger. For instance, a professional athlete, they can use their influence and their physical ability for God's kingdom. A retiree, for instance, can be a wise encourager. They can be a mentor. Or maybe a mom or a dad who stays home with the kids, their purpose is to teach those kids right from wrong, to teach them about responsibility, to teach them to be a servant in life. Even a plumber. A plumber interacts with people all day long in their homes, and quite honestly, they're solving really important problems for those people. So In all of these people's lives, they are using their gifts to glorify God, and I believe God is going to open doors for the gospel to be shared through that, pointing people to something bigger. So, here's your homework. I want you to write down and answer these questions. Number one, what are my top talents and gifts? Number two, what problems do I see in the world around me that need solving? And number three, what are the results of my efforts in solving those problems that matter the most to me? Out of those answers to those questions, I believe a sense of purpose will begin to formulate in your mind. Why am I here? What am I here to do? Because you matter and you have what it takes. God has gifted you to do that purpose. Pray about that. Be silent. Sit in that for a little bit. And now ask God to begin opening those doors. And when you see them open, take that step forward into a purpose that He has prepared you for.
Wow, wasn't that good?
Daniel does such a great job of teaching. You can see why he's just an excellent counselor. And by the way, he does a weekly YouTube video you would love, just little brief teachings like that. My David, David Wilkerson, will leave a link in the show notes and help you to find that if you're interested in that. But that prepares us now for listening to David Robertson. There's a lot of Davids and Daniels in this podcast. That prepares us for listening to David Robertson, who is just such a deep man of God. You will enjoy what he has to say. And quite honestly, I believe as you listen, you'll forget about the adversity that he is talking about. So this is David Robertson as we begin to discover the purpose that God has for him in his life.
I am sitting here with a great friend of mine, David Robertson. David and I have been, I don't know, 15 years probably, David, you think we've been friends?
At least, yeah.
Yeah. We were 7 years old when we met. And you know, I am so old that joke doesn't even work anymore because I can't get young enough for me to still be young. So it is great to see you. Thank you for taking the time to come and sit and talk to me.
Well, Mike, thank you for having me on the podcast. I've never been interviewed on a podcast before. I mean, do I look okay?
You look great. You, okay. Let me tell you, you have a face made for podcasts. You really do.
Thank you, Jesus.
David, when we first became acquainted, you were a staff member at a great church here in town, mm-hmm. and working with men in recovery. I did some teaching for you in that, and kind of our hearts were pointed in the same direction at that time, and we've been involved in all kinds of projects together since then. But I thought it might be good just to start out, you know, we'll finish this story at some point, but start out, just tell a little bit about you. How'd you come to be sitting here doing your very first podcast?
Right. Well, you know, my 60 years of life, 42 of them have been right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That's where I met my beautiful wife at church. And Monica and I were married on the 4th of July.
Oh, wow.
Almost 34 years ago. Yeah, I'll be 35 this year. And she's so smart. She's, you know, she's written a couple of books. She's has her own counseling center and just a smart cookie. And together we have a little girl named Abigail Grace. She's our leap day baby.
Really?
And so some of your listeners probably already did the math on that. She's 7 years old. So she's 28. Yeah.
Yeah. That's neat.
And so we're so proud of her. Just love being in ministry. I'm still at a great church right now. Mm-hmm. I'm the care pastor at Christian Life Church, and just enjoy that so much. Work with a great pastor, a great team there. Mm-hmm. And just, for fun, I'm a triathlete. I like to do the swim, bike, run thing and stay really healthy.
You're one of the only people that I know who can actually say what their BMI is, your body mass index, but you do keep a very, I don't want this to get weird, but you do keep a really good physique. I mean, you're in great shape.
Well, that's weird, Mike.
it got a little awkward there.
But thank you.
So you do that from, just say a little bit about your, what's your regimen in that?
I'm a big, early in the morning guy. I am a morning guy. I do my devotions. I'm in the daily audio Bible every day of my life, and YouVersion and all that. I got my routine, and then I'm at SportsCom first thing every morning. You know, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays I lift weights. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays I swim. On Saturdays I'll bike or run depending on the weather. And I just love to be in shape, work out. You know, I'm a podcast fiend, just, you know, feeding my spirit while I'm building my body and maintaining that, and then take Sundays off and rest. So
you just have a great discipline about you that I've always admired. Probably the things you admire in people are the things that you don't have in your own life, David. And I've always admired the great discipline that you have and the way you physically take care of yourself, spiritually take care of yourself, the writing, the things that you do that you're so committed to. And I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I'm really trying to lean into a higher education degree right now. I'm pursuing my AUG degree. I'm so excited
AUG.
About that.
AUG, what's AUG?
And, you know, I got a master's at MTSU. I got an EDS from the University of West Georgia, but those aren't as interesting as the AUG degree. This is my study to show yourself approved, a workman, AUG, approved unto God, who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or correctly handling the word of truth. And you know, Mike, in this day and age in our country, there's never been a time when we need to discern between truth and error, right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just love the Word of God.
That's good. AUG degree. I'll have to, although I'm thinking the money that I've invested in other degrees, I probably spent more on the AUG degree than anything because of the mistakes I made in trying to get there. Well, all that is impressive. I mean, just candidly, that's impressive. But it has an added weight with it for you. One thing that our listeners, if they don't know you, don't know this, but you are visually impaired. In fact, when we first knew each other, that was just starting to kind of rear its ugly head. And now after 15 years, it's progressed pretty far. Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Sure. Back in the day, you know, I was driving and riding a motorcycle and playing tennis with you.
Right.
And those were...
I was really good, wasn't I?
Yes, you are. Yes, you were, and yes, you are. Yeah. But, you know, I do carry the burden of an incurable eye disease. It's called retinitis pigmentosa, RP. Mm. Kind of the street name is tunnel vision.
Yeah.
It's been a challenge, particularly in the latter portions of the disease. If your listeners were to take two toilet paper tubes and put them over their eyeballs, I mean, welcome to my world. This is what I see, a very restricted field of vision, maybe 20 degrees out of 180. And towards the latter portions of the progression of the degenerate eye disease with your retinas, the central vision field goes. Mm. And now it's incorrectably blurry.
Yeah.
And that's robbed me of my driver's license for the last 3 years, and inability to read books and see my iPhone and things like that. So I'm thankful for adaptive technology and all that. But here's what I know. You know, I'm not the only one. I mean, everybody that's listening to this podcast is going through a hard thing. Okay, right. I understand that. And, you know, life comes at us fast. It comes at us hard, knocks us on our butt. And, you know, as having been in ministry for 30 years, you know, what I've observed, Mike, over the years is I've just seen ways that people can deal with this. The first one I've seen is people could just, they just cry about it, you know?
Right.
Oh man, poor fiddle for me, you know? And I understand that people get upset when they get a diagnosis or someone they love dies. I understand that. But you know what? Unchecked, that discouragement can, you know, go down into the matrix of depression.
Right.
And that's a real, that's a very real thing.
Yeah.
And so they can cry about it. Or secondly, they can cuss about it. And a lot of people, they're just mad right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just upset. They're angry with the political scene and all the things that are going on in our nation. But you know, the Bible says that a man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. So there's no future in that. The third option I've seen is people just cope with it. They say, well, you know, it is what it is. And I am who I am, and this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And they just almost take their addiction and they make it part of their identity.
Yeah.
Or their sickness. They says, well, this is who I am, who I'm always going to be, so I'm just gonna be satisfied with coping with it. But there's a fourth way, I think, that we can deal with the things like my eye disease and the issues that your listeners are going through, and that is to capitalize on it.
Wow.
And to say, you know, this isn't the journey I would have chosen, but it's nevertheless the path that I'm on. So what does this make possible, right? Wow. You see, there's bad questions and there's good questions to the stuff that happens to us. You know, the bad questions are why? Why me? Why this? Why my loved one? Why now, right? But there's no easy answers to those questions. Yeah. But the better question is, okay, well, God, if the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord, well, how can you make good out of this? How can you get glory out of even this?
Wow,
and
that's good.
Yeah, so, you know, and in my case, Mike, you know, I went from full-time at Christian Life Church to part-time, from working on campus to working at home a couple of years ago. And I mean, it was just an opportunity for me to have to pivot. I mean, in COVID, we've all learned to pivot, right?
Right.
And so it's like, am I just going to sit at home and, you know, watch Dr. Oz and, you know, The Wheel of Fortune and, you know, binge watch NCIS and Blue Bloods? Or what am I going to do with you know, this new life that I'm facing? And all I knew to do was go to Chick-fil-A and meet with guys.
Wow.
Okay. And, you know, I just started meeting with guys and just going in spiritual challenges, I call them. God began to take something that was negative and make it positive, because, you know, there are advantages to adversity. There's benefits to bad things happening to good people. And honestly, there's value in the valley if we invite the Lord to help us.
Boy, that's good, David. Let's say that again. There's advantages to adversity, benefits and bad things.
To bad things happening to good people and value in the valley. Because look, it's inescapable. It's inevitable.
Right.
We live in a fallen world. There's only four chapters in the entirety of the Word of God where everything's right on the earth.
Uh-huh.
Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22. You know, in the beginning,
in between is a mess.
I mean, in the beginning, you got a perfect man and a perfect woman and a perfect environment and a perfect relationship with God and each other. Then Genesis chapter 3 and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then all hell broke loose. And from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to Revelation, you know, 20, you've got a real devil, but thanks be to God, we have a real Redeemer.
That's good.
Who restores all things. And Revelation 21 and 22, where we end up, Mike, at the end of this thing, having a perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect environment and perfect relationship with God and each other.
Yeah. And man, that's great. It gives more depth to that cliche, you know, we read the end of the book and we win.
Yes.
That's really good. So, and I really want to talk, David, about that, about your Chick-fil-A meetings. I can see right now, we're just going to have you come back and spend more time doing that. So I want to talk about that. In fact, quite honestly, that's the main reason I ask you to do this. But I don't want to pass over too quickly where you are right now and how you got to where you are. So you said you can cry about it, you can cuss about it, you can cope with it, or you can capitalize on it. How did you do that, Dave? I mean, that's not just did you just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to have a good attitude about this? Or how did you bring yourself to come to that place?
Well, first of all, I would say that I thank God for the Word of God. The Bible says, this is the comfort in my affliction, that your Word has revived me. There's a verse answer your question that resonates with me. It's Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Right. And that word vision is a Hebrew word, chazon, C-H-A-Z-O-W-N. And it could also be translated dream or revelation. Where there's no dream, where there's no revelation, where there's no vision, people just perish. And I'll tell you what, you know, God has hardwired into all of us, you know, he's given us a call. You know, Psalm 139 says, look, there's a book, and all your days were fashioned for you when as yet there were none of them.
I love that.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And so God has a plan for our life, and it's a good plan. Of course, Jeremiah 29:11 plans to prosper you, you know,
right.
a hope in the future. But in this verse, Proverbs 29, verse 18, Pastor Craig Rochelle teaches on this. In fact, he's written a book called Chazon, and this is where my wife gave me that book. It changed my life. He talks about three circles, Mike. The first circle is our core values. These are our passions, those things that are, you know, what brings us joy, what things makes us cry or righteously indignant or angry.
Yeah.
The second circle is our spiritual gifts and our natural abilities. Mm-hmm. And God gives us those. Okay. And then the third circle is our past experiences, good and bad, and our future opportunities. And Pastor Craig Rochelle says, where those three circles intersect, he would argue that right there is your cause zone. That's God's vision, dream, revelation for you.
Wow. That is so good.
So to your question, I found, you know, in Chick-fil-A, of all places, my cause zone. Now, I've always been a disciple guy. I mean, you cut me, I bleed discipleship.
Right, right.
That's me. But I didn't have really a method and a way to do that. And I found that by meeting with men in small groups, because we learn better in circles than rows, right? And just a relationship, life on life, you know, mentoring. You know, if someone's, you know, falling in through the ice and they're going hypothermic, before 911 can get there, the rescuers, first responders, you know, you don't hand them a book, you don't give them a website. You take one warm body and you place it against another cold body, and the transfer of one to the other can save their life from hypothermia.
Right, right.
And in the same way, mentoring is like that, and communicating, you know, the character of Christ in us into someone else is transferred best through relationships.
Boy, that's good, David. So you go to the Word of God, find not only meaning but comfort in the Word of God, and out of that comes this purpose, this direction for your life that, I mean, you've always done. As long as I've known you, you've been a discipler. You've poured yourself into people in general and men in particular, as long as I've known you. But it's hard for me to imagine you being as focused on that and as passionate about it as you are right now without having gone through this refining fire of loss of vision. It's interesting, when you said that Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, isn't it funny that God would take that verse and say, okay, you're thinking of vision the wrong way. I'm not talking about your eyesight. I'm talking about, man, that's powerful. It's good.
You know, I've also learned that, people matter most.
Yeah.
I couldn't do what I do without people. I mean, you drove me here to this taping.
Yeah. And those people who are listening who know me are proud of you for being willing to get in the car with me, by the way. That's not one of the gifts God gave me.
You know, what I've learned is in every community, there's good people and there's bad people, but the best people are God's people.
Yeah.
I've had so many people come around me and provide for me, from my wife and family to my pastor and church and just friends. And I used to think that, you know, it's horrible that I couldn't meet a friend at Chick-fil-A by driving there, but they had to come and pick me up. But, you know, in so doing, I get that extra time with them that we never would have. And I have just hundreds of stories like that to get where I need to go and to do what I need to do. I've had to rely on other people. And there's a difference between humility and humiliation. And early on, I had to fight that battle. There was a tension, a deep tension on that. And my pastor helped me to distinguish and discern between the two and says, you know, God's not in this to humiliate you. He's in this to help you to be humble.
Wow. That is so good, David. We need to go again. Would you come back and let's kind of pick up where we left off and start talking about men's ministry?
Oh yes, it'd be such an honor. Thank you.
I'll have to come pick you up again, go through this whole process all over again. Let's kind of close with this, if it's all right. Tell me each day. You have such a discipline, again, such a time in the Word, your devotional time, and then sports comm, exercising, and all of that. Tell me each day what you do to find the focus for that day. And God saying, okay, David, here's your cauzone for today. Here's where you're supposed to be for today.
You know, I don't know. I've never met the man or woman who doesn't want to have the best year of their life this year.
Uh-huh.
But in order to have your best year ever, you're going to have to back that up to create a momentum-building month.
Yeah.
12 of those.
Yeah, good.
To create a momentum-building month, you're going to have to break that down into an ideal week.
Mm-hmm.
And I separate the weekdays from the weekends. I try to optimize the weekends differently. And the weekdays, because there's more of them, you know, I try to create what I call the perfect day. Well, what does that look like, David? Well, for me, it's kind of rituals, a morning ritual and an evening ritual. I would argue all day long that the first and the last hour of your day are probably the most critically important.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I try to, there's three life domains I'm really working on. The first one is the secret place. This is our daily time with God. We get that from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And who you are when you're in that place with God, your devotions, man, this goes to the next domain, into the gathering place. This is church, this is family, and that determines who you are in the public place, right there. And so I just believe in a strong morning ritual every day. My alarm is usually set for 3:56 a.m. Why that? That's weird. Well, it's Proverbs 3:5-6. It's my life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I just want to let those be some of the first words out of my mouth. And I get up, and I'm in the Word of God, the Daily Audio Bible. I can't read, so I listen to the Daily Audio Bible by Brian Harden, lives over here in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And for the last 3,500 consecutive days or so, I've been in that app.
Wow.
And my goal is to read the Bible in a year, every year, for the remainder of my years.
That's good.
And then get into the YouVersion Bible app. I'm a raving fan about YouVersion. And then, you know, I just have a whole series of things that I listen to in devotions and whatnot. And then it's off to the gym, where I put the podcast in. I'm listening to the sermon and you know, the news and all that kind of stuff. And then, come home, walk the Huskies, and then get at my stand-up desk by 9 a.m. and hit it hard.
Yeah. Boy, that's good. There is power. I think in our random, fast-paced world, we have lost the value of ritual. There's great power in ritual and being consistent, doing the same thing, same time, in the same way every day, and allowing God to speak to us through that. But David, this has been so good. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Yeah, that's great. We'll have you back and look forward to hearing what God's doing next.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mike.
David is, quite honestly, just one of the most God-filled men that I know. He does such a great job of taking in, as my wife would say, taking in the good so that it just comes out as he begins to talk. And I am always inspired when I listen to him. Thank you for listening to that and for listening as he discovers kind of his purpose while all of that is going on.
a reminder to join us in the branchesblog.com 40-day spiritual adventure, Love Actually. It's easy to find, branchesblog.com. And Dave Wilkerson will leave a link in the show notes at the end of this. We'd love to have you join us. And one more time, because this is David's idea, I think it's a great idea, you can actually go back to the beginning and just start your 40 days from where you join in. So thanks for all of that. Thanks for being a part of that. Thanks for listening today. What difference does that make? You know, we've heard a great lesson on purpose. We've heard a man talk about finding his purpose in the middle of difficulty. One of my cliches, I guess, that I probably say too much is the only problem with pain is that it hurts. Some of the great things that God has done in my life, he has done out of adversity, out of pain, out of what other people might call handicaps, that God has provided great opportunities for that. So I would encourage you today to begin to think differently about the struggles in your own life, about the adversity, about the pain, about the difficulty. Begin to think differently about all of that. Begin to recognize that God does his very best work in the middle of your messes. When you see things that way, it changes everything about how you live life and how you love God. So see it differently and see God at work in the struggles of your life. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. In a couple of weeks, we'll drop another one. You'll enjoy that. For now, be sure and love yourself today, because God does.
What Difference Does That Make with Dr. Mike Courtney is part of the Mana 3 Media Network. It is hosted by Dr. Mike Courtney and is produced and edited by me, David Wilkinson. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe to What Difference Does That Make wherever podcasts are downloaded. Be sure to check out our episode show notes. You can learn more about Branches Counseling Center on Facebook and Instagram, and you can check out more podcasts by Mana 3 Media, including my own, Dad Matters, on Instagram at Mana 3 Media. That's MANA, 3 Media.